Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, TASS of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and we are positively reeling around here. It is draft week. We're going to have draft coverage all night on Thursday. If you're on the WNST text service, brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, it's very easy to do. It's free. It's awesome. Ask your friends. You'll be getting all the draft picks as they come in. Luke will be monitoring that. The Orioles are in D.C. I'm at Cooper's Pub. I will have the Back to the Future scratch also on Wednesday afternoon. Also have some great guests. We're going to be talking a lot about Leukemia Lymphoma Society. Nick Schultz is coming by. Billy Cole's coming by for Cole Roofing. So and I haven't had him on in a minute. So that'll be a great day. We're Coco's next Wednesday. I hope the Orioles score a run between now and like the next time you and I chat, Luke. This has been really quite the week. I mean, just going into bobblehead weekend and the Reds and what happened on Friday and what happened on Sunday, and now they got one hit. And they have fallen, and they really are in some danger here of not getting up. And they just have not at any point, other than six home runs in Toronto with you and me, look like a good baseball team.
I mean, it's obvious. This is a bad baseball team right now. Now, are they going to be over the next 140 games? That's up to them. I think looking at this thing, a 9-13 start, the issues are obvious. The most pressing issues are obvious, but there are other issues that can't use the starting pitching as an excuse. I'm tired of hearing that. That's why I've been taking the offense to task as regularly as I have when we've had our conversations over these last 4 weeks. But they have 140 games to go. You can look at that one of two ways. If you're this organization, whether we're talking about the players, the coaching staff, the front office, ownership, that's an opportunity to say, this was a really lousy 22 games, but we have 140 games to go and we are better than what we've shown. Or you can wallow in it and say, oh my gosh, we have 140 games to go, right? I mean, this can go one of those two ways.
By the way, I had Lynn Henning on, a legendary columnist from the Detroit News. And he joined me for a little bit because we're playing the Tigers this weekend. And he talked about the Tiger season last year where like Scooble was available. And he talked about the holiday, like how that would have changed both of the organizations and the Orioles would be better right now and like all of that. But like, these teams, the Astros had a horrible start a couple years ago. Like, you can overcome this. This isn't, they're not 3-15. They're a
Correct.
couple games under 500. The problem is that they're not doing this with ace pitching getting beaten up. They're doing this with, we see what we see with the roster is made of right now. It's not made of Tarik Skubal, it's not.
It's not, but I'm sorry. I can't just focus on the pitching when I'm continuing to see not very good defense. You continue to see lapses. You have an offense that, other than Colton Cowser, is intact, yet against left-handed pitching, this isn't an issue where they're struggling against left-handed pitching. This is an issue where it looks like left-handed pitching has come from a different planet, and it's something they haven't seen before. This team is hitting 165 with a 247 slugging percentage and a 225 slugging percentage and a 247 on-base percentage against left-handed pitching. This was supposed to be a point of emphasis in the offseason. So
I've
it's
already freely given the praise to say they made one guy look like Koufax and one guy look like Spahn, and it's April 23rd. I
I
mean.
mean, I'm at a point now where everyone is on notice. I said this to you the other day, after the 24-2 loss. This front office, this coaching staff, and yes, this young core, all these guys that have been hyped for years, guys that were hyped for years before they even got to the major leagues, none of this is good enough right now. Who's really having a good year right now? Cedric Mullins? Yeah. Ryan O'Hearn's having a good year. There are a couple other guys swinging the bat okay, although they're for every guy swinging the bat okay, like Tyler O'Neill,
I would
his
throw
defense hasn't been
Urias
good.
in, for 3 weeks to say he's been a complimentary player.
But he's a bench player at this
I got it.
point,
I know.
right? I mean, I just
But you're
the
getting a, I'm getting more out of him than
sure,
maybe I thought I was going to get
sure.
out of him. That's all.
Well,
I'll throw that in there
I
when you
would
get
actually
guys
just
innocent,
say that he's kind of given you what you expect to get from him over the last few years, and that's been a nice thing. But the bullpen's been good, but as we've kind of said, they haven't necessarily had a lot of high leverage spots to really see how good, and the innings are piling up for that group because of the starting pitching. My point is, Who exactly showing themselves to be valuable to this club right now? I mean, we've now heard Brandon Hyde say multiple times over the last week that these guys are really struggling to let things go. That's your job as the manager. If you can't get them ready to play, then what do you bring into the table? I mean, this thing's trending where I'm wondering if Brandon Hyde's going to have his job by
I
Memorial
don't
Day.
think Brandon Hyde's a shrink in this, right? I mean, my sense, and I don't know him. I've been in a room literally with him twice in my life, in the pregame in Arlington 18 months ago and in the postgame in Arlington 18 months ago. And I didn't have the heart to ask him. It was like when Showalter got eliminated and I was a kid. I didn't have the heart to ask him a question. I wasn't, as much as they think I'm a jerk, I'm not much, I'm professionally, I'm not a jerk. I'm not that guy. But like, I've never spoken to him at all. That would be an interesting part of his persona that I don't see. I see him as a ball coach. I see him as a strategist. I don't see him as Joe Madden. I don't see him as warm and fuzzy. I don't see him as, studying the wooden competitive leadership triangle. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. I don't. What do you know about him? Could he coach you up? If you had to go have dinner with him, would he give you a good? Would he be a good contagious kind? I don't sense that about him. I sense that they brought him in to get young kids better at baseball. And he has for the most, and he's got some really talented people. I mean, these are really, really talented baseball players. Aside from all the hype, and I'm with you, when the team sucks for 100 years, all you have is when you pick some cute little blonde boy who doesn't shave and say, let's get him to the big leagues, because that's what you feel good about when you're drafting young people. And then they get in over their heads and they hit a buck 43 and have to go back with their tail between their legs because it's really hard to do. This is where I channel Buck and say, this is the big leagues. This is the big leagues. This is hard to do now. This is hard to do now.
I mean, it is, but I think the one thing that I would say about Brandon Hyde going back from 2019 through 2022, when things really started to turn around, was even with how bad those teams were in terms of talent deficiencies, generally speaking, and it's one reason why he lasted as long as he did, and that why he's the manager today. They played hard, and generally speaking, fundamentally they were okay, right? I mean, we knew they weren't talented, right? I mean, there were so many placeholders, but generally, the brand of baseball they played, you rarely question their effort. I'm questioning these guys' effort level at this point. I'm questioning
Wow.
their
You
mindset.
don't do that much.
Well, I don't mean it in terms of like, oh, you're not running hard to first base. I'm meaning it in terms of your focus. I mean it in terms of how mentally tough you are. This team looks defeated,
Well,
and
I
it's
mean, this is
April
where,
23rd.
Rutschman is a pat on the ass guy, right? I don't know what Brandon Hyde is. I know they're waiting on Kyle Gibson to come and be some sort of Yoda for them, right? In some way. I don't. Look, man, I learned more about my life when my wife got cancer than at any other point. I mean, when you are brought into strife, whatever that strife is, you get challenged. And I don't think it was easy for them to go win 101 games, but they were showing the best version of themselves, to quote John and our creator, right? But I don't know enough. I'm not privy, right? I'm on the outside watching Kevin Brown spin me whatever Greg Bader tells him he has to spin, right? So I'm, by the way, you skipped the lead story. We didn't even do streaming yet, but we'll get to that in a minute because I see the smile on your face on that. But at some point, who's going to be that guy? I mean, and I don't know where Cowboy Up is, but that's the reason they brought Kevin Millar in here when they stunk for a minute, right? That there has to be Rick Sutcliffe. I go back to 1992. And by the way, let me say a moment just about Chito Martinez, who was a really good man and one of the really sweet guys in that clubhouse, and one of the first guys when I was around the team every minute of every day and traveled with the team 92, 93. He was a DH kind of guy. He was as Tom Kaplan, I would say he was a forward Strat-O-Matic. Some people say in a concrete glove, but he had great bat. And he lent me his bat in the media game. So I single and struck out looking. It was Frank Robinson's fault off Peter Schmuck. I was swinging Chito Martinez's bat. So of all things, when we lost him, so I just wanted to give a moment. But leadership, Rick Sutcliffe was a part of that. Dude, Elrod Hendricks and Cal Ripken and Mike Flanagan back in that era, when I'm thinking being in that locker room and I'm thinking who those coaches were, the Greg Biginis and the Ray Millers and all of those guys, they all had some Don Mohler high school guidance counselor in them, right? And I don't know where that is. I know I've needed that in my life in my darkest moments. You're a deacon in your church, and we all have different spirits. And I'm not even, we're not going to Joe Boo's Rum here or playing any major league things, although I may quote Lou a few times here before it's all over with. But to your point, dude, come to the ballpark with some energy. I mean, I was there the night Johnny Oates turned over the beans, Franks and Beans, in the clubhouse, and we went in. It was ish scattered everywhere. It looked like an orangutan at the buffet. I don't know, man. I mean, we've had screaming managers come, and we've had all of that, but this franchise has only really been good twice since you've been a teenager, and it was Davey Johnson, and it was Buck, and Buck had been through the wars. Buck had been fired four times as Brandon Hyde and had a whole lot more silver by the time he got. Buck ran a whole organization in Arizona, managed humans. Buck had emotional intelligence, even in dealing with me, after he and his wife were told I was a bad guy, and his wife came and repented on the internet. So, like, Buck is still that kind of Yoda of a guy, which is why the Mets paid him that money. We're going to find out about Brandon Hyde. I don't know. I mean, there's certainly blood in the water to want to fire him, right? I mean, and I keep saying he didn't buy the groceries. You're mad at the offense. You're mad at young players for not being able to do this. We're all kind of looking at it and saying, where's the leadership, right? Who's going to come in? And all of those crazy things I just said about leadership from Kevin Millar backwards, who's that guy? Where that's Adley Rutschman, right? Right?
Is it? Who are the grown-ups? Who are the
It's not
grown-ups?
Katie Griggs and Mark Fine. I've sent a
Well,
letter to them,
but
by the
this
way.
is, and you mentioned I'm mad at the offense. No, I'm disappointed in every phase of the organization at this point in time because this is so below the bar. And it's not just the 9-13 start. It's last year and how they finished last year. Again, I go back to where they were last June, right? You and I sitting at Costas and the Orioles winning two out of three from the Yankees in a series where there were hit by pitches and tension. And we saw that tension obviously boil over, not, a few weeks later at Camden Yards. But I mean, this has been a sub 500 baseball team since last June. They've been under 500 since last June. And you look at it now, I mean, they're well under 500 since last June. I mean,
Well,
I'm not
they're a way more diminished team now than they were even in like August. They had Corbin Burns.
and I get it. Look, the starting pitching is horrendous, but that doesn't give everyone else license to be bad too. And I mean, they have one hit on Tuesday night. Where's your professional pride when you lose 24-2 and you stew over that and you're embarrassed over that and you come out two nights later, even with a day off, and you have one hit. One stinking hit. I mean,
Boy, if I
what is.
worked on Sirius XM, that's where you intentionally drop the F-bomb right there. You know,
Well, I mean, I'm
one
not.
hit, one hit, one hit. I
It's
mean,
just. And
Koufax. I channeled Koufax on the internet Tuesday night.
that's where I look at this thing and I'm just like, okay, are these players as good as we thought? What exactly is the coaching staff doing now? It's not just Charlie Morton. And look, Charlie Morton's 41. It may be an Occam's razor situation where he just truly is washed up, right? It wouldn't be shocking. We talked about that possibility over the offseason. Dean Kramer's not a hasn't been a 6+ ERA pitcher in the majors. And yet that's what he's been. Cade Povich doesn't look any better. What's Drew French and the pitching coach is doing? What's the front office doing? What's the analytics department? None of this all feels broken. And it's 22 games, but it's 22 games of looking like a bad baseball team. This isn't like,
After
this is
80
kind of,
games of looking like a failing baseball team,
yeah,
right?
after 80 games of looking, they weren't god awful in the second half of the season, but it was very, very mediocre at
Well, I
best.
mean, the only thing you judged on is the playoffs. And you know, I mean, the playoff effort was exactly what it
I mean, they
was, right?
just
I mean,
didn't.
like, it was
I mean,
terrible.
they didn't swing the bats at all. So, I saw someone make this point on social media, and it's tough for me to argue with this. I mean, they let their two hitting coaches go last year, and who did they replace them with? Cody Asche, who was promoted, Sherman Johnson, who was promoted from a minor league role, and they brought Tommy Joseph over, who was part of Seattle, the Seattle's coaching staff. And what did everyone say about the Mariners last year? They
Couldn't hit
couldn't
the
hit the
ball.
ball. So I look at that, and look, I'm not saying that means you need to, that you need to hire someone that's been a hitting coach for 40 years per se either, but maybe you do need to bring someone in that with a little bit of experience, someone that uses and buys into analytics, but also has a little more, holistic, a little more major league
Charlie Lau.
experience. Yeah, and obviously, you think
Walt
of
Riniak, yeah.
but a middle ground between that and what they have right now. I mean, Nestor, they act like they've never seen left-handed pitching in their life. And Brandon Hyde was getting beat up about his lineups,
Yeah, I
but
was gonna say, what, where were you on that? Because it's sort of like
I mean,
I let these guys play at some point, but then they get one hit over 9 innings, and we're sitting here the next morning saying, what truck hit us?
right. I mean, look, Tyler O'Neill has really good numbers against left-handed pitching in his career, but you wouldn't know it this year. I think he has one hit against
Oh, I can
lefties.
also see where Sig Meidel on Tuesday night would say, okay, rip the blackjack book up. Don't play righty left. Don't play against the history of baseball. Play your gut. Just
Well,
play
it hasn't
gross
worked
at it.
either way.
Right,
That's the
right. Well,
problem.
that's, yeah, I get, right.
And one thing I would
Go ahead,
say
hit
about
on 19. Go ahead, you
right.
know.
And the one thing I would say about the lefty righty thing, and I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this on the air. I know I've talked about it with other people. It's not as though their right-handed options on the bench are Delmon Young and Steve Pearce, right? So I don't want to see Jorge Mateo in the lineup against anyone at this point in time. And I don't say that to be overly personal or anything like that. He's not one of their nine best hitters. He's not, from a hitting standpoint, he probably doesn't belong in the majors, or he would be on a second division kind of team. Well, although the Orioles are trending and being a second division team right now, but it's just all the way around, this just feels very broken. Like, how is this going to get better? I mean, and that's where
Well, they're
we
going to
begin
hit the
with the
ball. Yeah, they're going to hit the ball. It's
But
the
that's
only
where
way
we
it's going to get
begin with
better.
the starting pitching and say, look, if this is all because their starting pitching is where it is, then yeah, these next 140 games are going to be, you know what? It's going to be miserable. Or you can look at it as an opportunity and say, look, we've been lousy. But the good news is we've only played 4 weeks of baseball. We've got a long way to go. We've got 140 games to figure this out. But man, it just. What I saw Tuesday night, that felt like a group that was feeling sorry for itself. And look, Dean Kramer was bad and gives up, what, eight extra base hits? I mean, I understand. I'm not saying that if they swung the bats well that they win that game because they gave up seven runs and that's below the bar. But got one hit. I mean, good for good for Mitchell Parker. I mean, he pitched well and he has pitched well this year, but man, this offense against left-handed pitching, the only thing they're capable of doing is tipping their cap to the opposition. I mean, it's pathetic how they've swung the bats against lefties. Against right-handed pitching, their numbers are right up there with the best in the league. So that hasn't been the issue. There's been some times where that could be more consistent, but overall, their offense has been fine against right-handed pitching. But against
Scruble's
lefties,
coming this weekend, by the way.
right. Well, hey, not just him. Take a look at who they're going to see tomorrow. Mackenzie Gore. I mean, talk about one of the bright spots in baseball. I mean, man, if Mitchell Parker could one hit you over that length of time, Mackenzie Gore might throw a no hitter against them. I mean, that's what he's actually really good. So, I mean,
Are you saying I should go to the ballpark Thursday? No.
where's the fight? I mean, where's the fight in this team right now? I'm really questioning what's under the hood at this point because
I'm questioning all of it when the
that's what I
owner gave a
mean.
bobblehead out the other day,
Well, yeah,
and
I
the
mean,
woman running the team,
the
and just
optics of that are awful.
just
Yeah, sure.
all of it, all the way through of what they're supposed to be doing. Do you want to talk about streaming for a minute?
Sure. Hey, let me be very clear. As loud as I've been about that, them introducing a streaming service, even if it's 4 weeks into the season, which you have plenty of people who paid for MLB TV and got a VPN, or you have people who signed up for satellite, and sometimes with satellite, you have contracts and service agreements and all that. So the timing was not ideal. However, good on them for not just punting and saying, oh, we'll roll it out in February of next year, because they could have easily done that. Everyone assumed that's what they were going to do at this point in time. So it's a good
Well, I
thing.
do wonder, was there, did the phone lines light up, right? Like I was wondering about that. Like, they're advertising it in the game, and I'm thinking to myself, if you're watching the game, you've already got access to the game. It's for the people who couldn't get the games, and whether they went running with their credit card in their hand, the way Katie Griggs needs them to, like literally, to say, did they sign up 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people in the first day? My gut is no. And it's a profit center. I keep going back to, where's the money coming from? And you keep going back to, well, if Gunnar Henderson doesn't hit the ball, they don't have to worry about paying him anything, right? So there's a little bit of that. But I'm measuring all of this, the empty seats, how they're marketing things, who the new owner is, who the new people are. Katie Griggs runs the joint. It's her first April in this seat. They got a guy from Baltimore running their marketing. And you're like, hey, you want to market, hit the baseball. You want to market, you got good looking young guys. Dude, that Star Wars commercial, just as an aside, that Star Wars commercial is so, it's just embarrassing. I don't know what, I don't, it feels like minor league baseball out of Toledo putting this together. And I keep thinking to myself, all right, you got Moneybags owner, he's got his own bobblehead, cows behind home plate, you got all these young stars, you got things. Bad enough that the pitching's gone bad. Worse that the hitting's not hitting and we're losing. I said to my wife in about the seventh inning, I'm like, they're losing to Washington. Washington's beating them. What would my dad think of that? But like, the whole operation all the way down. And now we're here firing the manager today. We're wondering who the leaders are. Nobody's hitting the baseball. Like, whoo, shoo, man, that draft's going to come right about time for people to avoid Detroit this weekend, right? I mean, but the streaming part is, they get this done, they announce it, and it really should be some sort of financial boon, like signing a player. How many season tickets did we sell today? We signed somebody. Like, there is a point where this woman and her team are being measured on numbers and growing finances and growing zeros at the end of things for things they're going to sell and good things they're going to do to promote the baseball team. They announced this, and I really do wonder, a couple thousand people, a couple hundred people, nobody. I don't know. I'm not that guy, right? And you've bitched about it so much and yelled, and for anybody younger than me, and my wife works for Verizon, and so I have a different gig, but I'm not the guy that was waiting on this. And I like, to your point, tell me, because I don't, and they'll never be honest about the numbers, but like, are there really a lot of people that went out and had on Monday rejoiced and signed up? Or is this something for like next year that might be helpful for you?
I think it's more of that because, like I said, people have already made their accommodations. I mean, the timing of it is almost 4 weeks into the season. Like I said, some people signed up for, they re-upped with Xfinity and maybe Xfinity gave them a deal. And a lot of times that comes with a contract, 12 months, whatever it is. Like DirecTV, I'm still getting things from DirecTV. I cut the cord back in January. I canceled DirecTV. I still get things in the mail. They give me the same lousy offer to try to get me back over and over. It's hilarious negotiating, but I'm still getting it nonetheless. So the point is, if you have Orioles fans who couldn't felt that they couldn't miss the games, they stuck with whatever option they have. And for me, I'll say this: I don't know if you've ever used the Masson app. They've had more streaming for people who have subscribed to a cable or satellite provider for since 2021, I think it is. That app's horrible. I use lots of apps. I stream lots. It's awful. Now, that's not to say it isn't better now. That's not to say they haven't made improvements now. But my point is, I'm subscribed to Fubo right now, which is a bulk streaming service that replicates cable. But I'm not rushing to switch to that. Now, that long term, I absolutely plan to take advantage of that. Am I doing that the first day it's rolled out? Well, first of all, I'm at least going to wait to the end of my billing cycle for Fubo because I'm not going to pay for something twice. But I also want to see how it rolls out. So I think, and this is where I'll stick up for them a little bit, although I'm certainly not throwing them a parade for doing something that 27 other teams in baseball had already accomplished. But the fact that they did this now, rather than just waiting until next year, this is kind of the, I don't know, this is kind of the beta version, right? This is the, you're the guinea pig right now, and it's better than nothing if you weren't going to spend for satellite or
Well, it also
cable,
shuts everybody up too, right? So, I mean, even
but it's
somebody
got to
like me
work.
who's not going to, subscribe to it,
Sure.
doesn't have it as a talking point anymore,
No
right?
question.
So, I
No
mean,
question. And that's where.
and it looks like progress. I mean, I saw Greg Bader didn't just get his name on the press release, uppercase and bold, Greg Bader. So, I mean, I saw he did it. You did it, Greg. Good job. Good job.
Yeah. And I will say this. I acknowledged all along when you had the Masson dispute, when you had trying to figure out with the Nats. Remember that the announcement came that the dispute had been resolved. That was March 2nd or 3rd, right? So I'm guessing that cleared a pathway for them to really start to dive into doing this with a different mindset. They did that in a matter of what, 7 weeks, something along those lines. But the big thing for me is, it going to work? Are people going to subscribe? And is the stream, do you have the tech? Do you have the server space? All of those things that you need to stream, because you don't want people paying for this and then it doesn't work properly. So that's where I think a lot of people who already made accommodations for something, whether it was Fubo, DirecTV has streaming that you can get Masson on that as well, or one of the many cable or satellite providers, where I think people are saying, let's wait it out. So, and look, they should advertise because during the game, because you have plenty of people who might be watching the game through other means, and saying, that would be preferable for me because I can save some money, I can have more flexibility, I can cancel my big streaming or cable or satellite package that I
So
have.
it's $90 for the rest of the year. Is that what it
Yeah.
was?
And $20 per month, which is, I will say, on the low end. If you look, I have not gauged every single team that has either a regional sports network that offers this or does it through Major League Baseball, but I haven't seen any that are lower than $19.99 a month. Dodgers are $29.99 a month. I think the Yankees and the Phillies, I tried to gauge, some of the bigger market teams. I think they're $25 a month. So $19.99, everyone from the Guardians
Again,
to
they
the
have less
Rockies.
fans who are going to give less money, which is going to create, this is where when you start to add up how we as a community pay for baseball players or whether David Rubenstein's a sugar daddy. And again, I had Lynn Henig on, who's covered the Detroit Tigers since 1979. We were discussing the Sensei's home run in the summer of 79 earlier, but I think of the Tigers as being one of the franchises that had a sugar daddy. He argued against that. He said that once they signed Pudge Rodriguez and Manglo Ordonez, after that they kind of ran it normally after going all in. I know they went all in on Mickey Tettleton, and a bunch of hitters a generation even before that, Cecil Fielder. But like the Padres a couple years ago with Seidler, that's why this is such a unique conversation because anybody out there can poo-poo the money and poo-poo the money. Follow the money in
Sure.
everything, including the White House. Follow the money because the money, if the Orioles are getting less per subscriber and there's way less subscribers, then there's going to be way less money. So, and there's way less fans in the stadium and you can see that. And the place is empty, so I'm trying to get their revenue together so that they can afford to be a better baseball team. Once they get more than one hit against the Nationals this week, right? So, but I do look at it from the business part of it and say they're the 28th team to do this, but you're level set now. You're with everybody else, but they're not really level set because they're getting $10 less ahead than other places are getting, and there's going to be less people. And to your point, this is where the car can't go off the road, right? Car goes off the road $20 a month. You just pull out in June. If you're a fan. And that's the way you're buying the season. It's like buying a hotel room. I'm really going to use it, or is it non-refundable, or is it refundable? Where am I on that? This season would be the kind of thing where if it really goes bad with the pitching and they go 10 games under 500 before the All-Star break, You cancel your subscription. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and money, that's money for the team. I keep trying to add up the money for them. And this streaming part was like this North Star thing that you talked about a lot for access for fans. Now the fans have to pull the credit cards out and be a part of it. And I guess my point is, day one, they're not making a lot of money off of this. Now, where it will be, the only way that happens, they have to win baseball games.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that's what's going to drive it. You're going to have, see, the difference here is you have an opportunity to really grow and really add to that revenue if you're in the midst of a pennant race in July and August and September. And you might have people that wouldn't have even thought about it before suddenly subscribing. But the downside is you have people that are have much more flexibility, especially if they go month by month, because, if you do the $90 for the season, then you've got the $90 regardless. But for the people going $20 monthly, then to your point, they can tap out in June or July and say, okay, this got me to Ravens training camp. I'm good. So,
I'll go to the bar and watch the game. Yeah, I'll go
yeah.
to the Cooper's
Or I'll
Pub and
just listen
watch,
on the
right? Yeah,
radio,
yeah,
right?
yeah,
I
right.
mean, so there's definitely, there are positives to this potentially, but there's also a downside to it. And it's no different than thinking about it through the lens of, 10 or 15 years ago, most people had cable TV or satellite, right? And you got your $2 a month. And I'm just using $2 as a very simple gauge for it. So you got $2 a month from everyone in the market for Masson. Well, now, as you have fewer and fewer people that are part of that model, and that model is completely dying out and will be dead at some point in time, you're now in a position where you say, all right, how many, we're not going to get it from everybody. But we can get $20. Okay, I need to get, just using really simple math there, one out of the 10 who used to give me $2 a month, I need to find at least one person that'll give me 20 then a month, right? So right there, like, it's a very simple equation there. And it's more complicated than that, but you get my example that you got to make sure you're
Well, you're a fifth grade
reaching
math
enough
teacher. You
people.
just gave me fifth grade math. I mean, literally, it's fifth
Yeah.
grade math. That's what
And
it is.
obviously the numbers are a little bit different than that, but the point is, yeah, you're not going to get $20 a month from everyone in the market, right? I mean, it's good. You're going to get it from
Well, this is why they
baseball
have to be
fans.
good at everything they do.
Sure.
They have to be. If you've you ever walked through the Ravens ticket office downtown and where Baker Koppelman's office was, there was an Art Modell thing that David clearly wrote it, but it was about we have to. Excellence. We have to be excellent at everything because we're competing with the Dallas Cowboys and we're competing with the Pittsburgh Steelers and we're competing with Bill Belichick. We have to be excellent at everything we do. They're competing with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, who don't have to be excellent. They have a lot of money. They have a lot of money and they have a lot of tradition and they have a huge fan base and they're in big markets and all that. They don't have to be excellent. They can sign Crochet and have it not go so well, or take a flyer on Gerrit Cole and give him $300 million and have him not there and still be in first place. Because they do so many other things really well. I wrote this letter to Katie Griggs, and I don't know whether I should have been meaner, to be honest, because I'm more angry than the tone of the email. Really more sad. Sad and angry is like a toxic mix. And I didn't get one hit on Tuesday night. They did. But it just how excellent they need to be, how much better they need to be than throwing out hats and having this guy have his own bobblehead a week. I mean, can you imagine if Steve Bisciotti gave a bobblehead out? Can you imagine if Ted Leonsis gave bobbleheads out at a Wizards game? Like, it's insane. Like, and nobody here even called it insane because we don't have John Eisenberg writing a column every day. I'm the only one on the radio. I mean, maybe Lockin' Four, who people are questioning him at this point. But there's only a couple loud people here that look at stuff and say, that's effed up. And I don't just mean the hitting or the pitching or my press pass or Justin Tucker or Chad Steele or not having streaming on Sunday or just all of it, just watching all of it. Not to mention college sports and the NIL and how crazy trying to get our arms around that. But I'm really trying to get my arms around the business of the Baltimore Orioles, and not just on the mornings when they get one hit or if they score 20 runs or give up 20 runs. I don't care. I'm trying to figure out what this is, and we're giving them $600 million to fix the stadium up. I see what Sashi Brown did with it. He threw your ass out of the press box up into the corner and me out of the stadium, and they're trying to get 500 grand from people to sit in their Blackbird thing. And I'm trying to figure out what they're doing with our civic money, and I'm really trying to figure out what the real plan is here. Because Peter's dead, Bud Selig's gone, Cal Ripken's gone, Boog and Brooks, and all of that. None of that matters to the people that are out there right now. I don't know what matters. You know what? I do know what matters. Free hockey gear that you talked up. You thought it was a beautiful piece. They gave that out on Friday night. People lined up. But the thing that's crazy is they get 15,000. And even if you have a ticket for the game, it's a Who Cincinnati concert trying to get in to get one. Like I saw it from where I live for years. I'm like, tell Nino's Pizza to make 40,000 of them and give them to everybody. Like the experience I'm talking about. I'm talking about for a 56-year-old guy that my kid or my grandkid wants that jersey and I want to go down there. I'm like, I'm not going down there and standing in line for 2.5 hours to maybe get one and beat people up trying to get the Victoria August at KD. So, it's just there's a fan experience and the streaming part of this and beyond whether you like baseball or not, and apparently a lot of Caucasians like baseball based on what I see, despite what their cameras try to find in the crowd every night. It's becoming this contrived reality thing. And when the baseball goes bad, I'm going to the beach, dog, you know?
Well, I mean, it's just like anything else. I mean, everything from a sports standpoint is niche other than the NFL at this point in time, right? I mean, it's just the
Yeah,
truth.
the Stanley Cup playoffs are going on. You're not watching them. You're not that guy, right? You're just
I mean,
not.
it's, and there are more popular sports than others, but they all lag behind the NFL dramatically. But,
But in this town,
you
basically, the
just,
Orioles shouldn't lag behind anything here, right? Like right
I mean, they're
now,
going to lag behind the Ravens because the Ravens are the
maybe
NFL.
on Thursday night
But beyond
after
that,
9 o'clock, yeah.
sure. But no, you made a point, and I haven't done close, I haven't looked at this closely, but I've looked at it enough. Your point about giveaways is so spot on. I don't know why we see that, and I've seen it other places too, where they don't make it for every, they don't make 40,000 of them. And then it does create this, you got to wait for 4 hours in line and all this. Why not make 40,000 with the thought that, okay, we may not sell out. We might have 10,000 extra, but then we can use that for so many different goodwill things and care packages for fans that might be going through tough times and things like that. Take it as an opportunity. That's something that's always been kind of crazy to me that you
Well, they
would do
talk
that.
about fan experience. What the hell is that? What is that?
Spending a lot of
I mean,
money.
like you and I go to the airport, we expect a certain, a TSA, we expect a certain amount of time invested. I don't mind giving them the $52 for the ticket to sit wherever the hell they put me if I get the thing that they're giving me. I remember back in the Blast era, they gave out, I think Löwenbräu gave out like a glass mug. I mean, you probably find it on the internet. I find all these kind of weird things. And they, because it was a glass mug in a box, you literally got it when you left. You literally got it upon departure. That always seemed to
But
make
everyone
more
got
sense
one.
to me. Right. Yeah. But everyone got one, and you only get to leave once, and you don't have to carry the ish around all night to bang it up or get the bobblehead or those statues they gave out years ago, which are lovely. I mean, like, look, look, as a swag guy, I mean, I'm wearing some Curio swag right now. I've gotten it, I've given it out. It's called swag. The S in the swag is stands for stuff and that we all get. But they have a fan base that has an incredible appetite for nerdity, and that cows are. And look, I'm talking to a nerd in you that likes you have bobbleheads behind you, and you like wrestling. And Alan McKellen loves Star Wars, and may the fourth be with him and everybody else. And like, but at some point, baseball. How about we like baseball? How about we keep score like Geddy Lee? How about we care about the like? And I said, you can get drunk. I told Katie Griggs this in my letter. You can get drunks out to that bar in center field. You can eliminate all those seats in left field instead of trying to sell them, instead of trying to fill them. You can eliminate them and make it a bar and make it a sky deck and sell it to an airline company. Whatever you're going to do, you know, take the $600 million. But like the promise is, here's the pinky promise: you're going to fix the city. And you're going to get people there. You're going to treat them well. It's going to be inclusive because look around your stadium. There aren't a whole lot of people that even have my skin tone, let alone Allen's. So, who, by the way, joined us for an hour this week. So I have Allen on this week talking about baseball. There's just so many things wrong with them. And in all of these years, they stacked up to a point where the Greg Baders and the TJ Brightmans didn't want to hear from me or anybody who was mouthy or anybody who thought 120 losses was acceptable because they had to go out and sell their club suites to the people that they, Wise Markets and Royal Farms and the people that bought it, right? Like, there is a point now where I'm like, all right, you have a new owner, a new leader, great players,
We
debatable on
think
debatable, debatable. Thank you. They won 192 games the last 2 years. You
they
be
did.
nice to Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde this
What
week.
have you done for
So
me lately?
I got you. I hear
They've got to
you.
win. But everything you
We're
just
really
said.
going downhill as a company if you're going to become the prick here. Let me be the bad guy. You wear the
They've
angel
got to
hat
win.
around here.
Everything you just mentioned about off the field and outreach and marketing, ticket sales, the fan experience, all of that is completely valid. You know what? None of that matters much if this team's not going to be good, because that's just the reality. Because you're only going to be able to charge so little for tickets, right? I mean, you're not going to get by on selling $5 tickets on a nightly basis, right? There's only so much of that that you can do in the reality of what baseball and major professional sports are in 2025. That if you're not going to win, you're not going to get people to come. I mean, you're just not. Now, that doesn't mean winning cures all either. You still need to make smart decisions in concert with the winning, but they're not going to win if this is going to go off the rails.
You have to have fans believe you can win, right? The confidence level. You always mention the Cardinals. And I think of places like the Brewers and the Tigers. These places, they're not Tampa. They're not Oakland. They're not Colorado. They're not half-assed, but they're not San Diego yet either, where everybody sort of all got bought in because the Chargers left town. So the Conquistadors. There is a point where the Orioles need to be that kind of franchise, not what they've been the last 30 years, which is a friggin' doormat, an embarrassment, a disgrace. And all of the remnants of that are left over. And I wrote this to Katie Griggs, and I hope everybody reads my letter. You've inherited a clown car, and somehow you think you're on a bullet train. You need to fix things. You need to change people, change things, change ideologies, change things. I'm not vibing that. I'm not vibing. I think they thought like they came in and thought everything's just fine here. Like Peter Angelos and his kid were never here. Like Kevin Brown wasn't tortured 2 summers ago. Like John Angelos didn't embarrass the governor 2 summers ago. Like this stuff happened 2 years ago, man. This is fresh stuff. Lots of losses. That's all fresh too. The playoff losses, those are fresh. The Birdland membership ish being risen and taken away and fine. All of that I've heard from fans, but then you get one hit, you lose 24-2, you make people stand in line for a shirt for 2 hours, and the team's no good, and nobody's answering for it, and that's going to be problematic for them. But the draft's Thursday night, we get to talk football.
Well, I mean, if they continue on this path, that's why I said, and look, I'm not saying this is all Brandon Hyde's fault by any stretch of the imagination. Let me be very clear about that. I'm down on all of it right now, front office, coaches, and players, because I'm seeing too much evidence of this feeling broken. And again, it's 22 games. They start playing like a playoff caliber outfit tonight from this point on, then they'll be fine from a mathematical standpoint. Now, we can certainly debate whether the starting pitching is ever going to get to a point this season where they could, one, make the playoffs, and two, look like any kind of threat to do anything in the playoffs. But hey, how about start by scrapping together 2, 3, 4 wins in a row at this point, which they haven't even done that so far this year. They have 1 2-game winning streak all year. But you just look at this thing right now, and look, you're not going to fire Mike Elias on April 23rd. And when I am saying fire people, this isn't me banging the table saying, with wanting a pound of flesh. You know me, man. I'm not Mr. Overreaction about things, but I am concerned with what I'm seeing. I absolutely am concerned with what I'm seeing. And when I continue to hear Brandon Hyde say that these guys are struggling to let go and move on from bad things happening, then that tells me two things. One, it tells me you don't really know how to get them out of this, and that's the whole part of the one of the major jobs of a manager. And two, it makes me question just how mentally tough these young players are. I mean, look,
Have
Jackson
they been
Holiday.
coddled all along, right? I mean, they're all
Well, I don't
one-ones.
know if
They're
it's. I mean, if it's
all
coddled,
Johnny
I don't know.
Bravo.
I mean, I don't know.
But when you're a one, when you're
But you've
that
got to deal
guy,
with failure
you
at
get
some
extra
point.
time, you get extra hitting, you get
Fair enough.
anything you want. You really do. I mean, that's the truth of sports, though, right? That'll be true for whoever the Ravens take on Thursday will get more rope than the kids they take on Saturday. That's the way it is.
But you've got to be able to deal with failure also. I mean, that's a big part of the game. And I mean, I keep hearing Brandon Hyde say how young they are. I'll buy that for Jackson Holliday, but these other guys have been around a few years at this point in time. Like, Adley Rutschman's not young in terms of baseball anymore. Heston Kerstad's not young in terms of baseball anymore. Gunnar Henderson, this is his third season, right? I mean, like, at some point in time, like, you don't get 6 or 7 years to figure out if you're any good or not in Major League Baseball, right? I mean, it's go time. Like, I again, Jackson Holliday's the exception to that, but he's got to perform, right? So when I hear Brandon Hyde saying this multiple times now in the last week or two, it makes me wonder what exactly he and the coaching staff are bringing to the table at this point. Because if you can't get these guys out of this funk, then they've got to make a change and see if someone else can. And Buck Britton managed these guys at AAA. Would he do any better than Brandon Hyde? He's on the coaching staff right now. I'm not saying he would. And again, this isn't me picking on Brandon Hyde that 100% of their issues is his problem. So much of this goes back to they had a lousy offseason. I've gone from underwhelming to lousy at this point in time. I've seen enough to say that was a bad offseason. Well, underwhelming was the kind way of me describing
Well,
how I
where we
felt
are
about their
right now, if we have
offseason.
to rate the offseason for Mike Elias, F.
How could it be anything
F.
else? I mean, they signed Tyler O'Neill to hit left-handed pitching, and he can't hit left-handed pitching all of a sudden. Look, and let me be clear. I think at some point they'll start swinging the bats better against left-handed pitching than 165, 247, 225, which is their slash line right now against left-handed pitching. I don't think Dean Kramer's really going to continue to have a 6-plus ERA. I mean, Charlie Morton at this point, I don't know how you keep sending him back out there. If you do, I suppose he's not going to continue to have a 10-plus ERA. Some of this stuff is going to there's going to be some positive regression that happens here. I've mentioned Adley Rutschman. You look at his overall production, it doesn't look good. You look at his Statcast and batted ball data, it tells you he's hitting into a lot of tough luck right now. And I'm not saying that to 100% excuse him. My point is, this all can't be this bad. Everyone thought the starting rotation was going to struggle. So the fact that it struggled and you've lost Eflin, it looks like Grayson Rodriguez may not even throw a pitch this year the way things are trending. We'll see. But that's not surprising, right? That's not surprising. But even acknowledging that doesn't turn a team that you thought maybe you could win 90 games into a 100-loss team without everything else failing in the process. And that's where I look at this thing and say, from a talent level standpoint, this isn't a 90 or 95 loss team. Now, it may only be an 80 win team, right? It may be a team that is sub 500. They might finish 77 and 85. If and that's even acknowledging that they'd improve some from this point forward, but based on the pace that they're on right now. But this just looks really bad, and it's a bad look for everybody. I'm not absolving anyone. Cedric Mullins has been great, right? Cedric had their one hit against the lefty on Tuesday night, got on base. He's been terrific. And if things continue to trend this way, they'll be trading him at the deadline for something for the future. I mean, but you just look at this thing, and Everything needs to be better, but you can't change everything on the fly. There's one thing that you can kind of do on the fly, other than, look, you can make some changes to your roster. Like you can DFA a guy or two if that tickles your fancy and you get someone else up here, fine. But in terms of things that really carry weight, there's basically one thing you can do in season, and that's looking at your coaching staff. I'm not saying I want that. Let me be very clear. I think Brandon Hyde did a really good job through the rebuild and did a really good job 2 years ago. But what's happened since then? Because even back in 19 and 20 and 21, the thing that I would say more often than not was, man, these guys are not good, but you can tell they play hard for their manager. They play hard for the coaching staff. And generally speaking, it felt like they kind of mostly knew where to throw the ball and do that kind of stuff. They just weren't good enough. But this team, they're sloppy. Their defense has been bad. They don't run the bases particularly well. The starting pitching's an utter disaster. We all know that. That's the headline in terms of on field. We all know that. But this offense, I get it. Missing Colton Cowser absolutely hurts your outfield defense. And he's a guy that does bring some energy. Has that personality that we've all seen in, some of the social media and whatnot. But you can't tell me that losing one guy just makes everything else fall apart, because if it does, that tells me you're not mentally tough. And it makes me question whether you're cut out to succeed at the major league level. As someone who's never done any, didn't even play varsity baseball. JV was where I maxed out. It's not about that that I know better, but I've watched enough Major League Baseball in my life, and I'm really starting to have concerns about the resiliency of this team. And just, I mean, it just, because Brandon Hyde's telling me that. Brandon Hyde's saying that they're struggling to move past when things go badly. That you can't have that mindset in baseball. As I said, they've got 140 games to go. That can be either an absolute blessing because that's most of the season. And if they, from this point forward, play at a level that they're more capable of playing, even with understanding how much of a challenge the starting pitching is going to be, then we'll still forget how bad these first 4 weeks were. But if you're not in the right headspace as a baseball team, that 140 games to go, that can be daunting as you know what as well. So which direction is this going to go? And I the options are limited if this is going to continue to go down this path. If it is, Brandon Hyde's going to lose his job. Now, will it be Memorial Day? Will it be June? Will it be the end of the season? Whatever. I don't know, right? And again, I
Well,
don't
he's
want.
earned the right to get them right, right? I mean,
I
at
mean,
this point, he's won 192 games,
he
right? But
has,
you've done the what have you done for me
but.
lately? If you wake up this morning and feel like he's lost the team,
And
right?
that's, and that's, and that, but that's where you look at this thing. Does Mike Elias have his finger on the pulse? Does the front office have his finger, their fingers on the pulse? Does ownership have
Well,
any semblance of a,
ownership doesn't know what
but if
I
that's
don't
the
want to say they
case,
have their head up their ass, but they have their head up their ass.
but if
No,
that's the
nobody there to
case,
tell the owner he shouldn't have a bobblehead the first week of the year, then there's nobody there to tell the owner anything. And I believe me, I dealt with the owner's emissary, the guy who whistled the national anthem. Ain't no telling that guy anything. He knows that he's invented baseball. I don't know anything about it, but they're the ones putting Rubenstein up to all of this. And like I just feel like the whole thing. I'm starting to get some totality on it, and I fired my first missive today when they're calling Ron Shapiro's son up in Toronto and telling him I'm not a media member, who I've known Mark for 25 years. I've known Ron for 40. And when you start to pollute the water like that, if that's going to be their intention to continue this Angelos thing, we all saw Greg Bader's name on the streaming thing because Greg did a great job and we can all stream now. Like, if they're going to run it like that and they're going to continue this, they are what they are, and that's top down. That's again, they won't keep good people around. Angelos had a hard time. I mentioned Buck earlier, 30 minutes ago in this thing, but nobody else wanted Buck. Let's start with that. So it was Buck's only thing, but Buck turned out to be a savior for them in that way. In the way you're talking about, like, Buck will get this thing straightened out because Buck leads men and women, I should say, at this point. So Buck will get this straightened out, but I to your point, you're like, will Brandon Hyde get this straight? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Starting to
Maybe
wonder.
not. I don't know.
And again, I don't, you know me, I've defended Brandon Hyde plenty of times. And let me be clear again, this is not all his fault, remotely all his fault. But I do have to recognize the piece that I do think he's responsible for. And we've seen a team that's been sloppy, thrown to the wrong base, got guys not lining up, properly, cutoff men, all that. We've seen base running lapses, and just a team that, man, doesn't feel like they're showing. I mean, you come out of an off day on the heels of losing 24-2, and that's how you play on Tuesday night. Man, that's sad. Again, where's the fight for this team? And no, you can't fire the entire roster. You're not going to fire your general manager in April. And I'm not saying you should fire everybody, but I am at a point now where I'm starting to look at this thing and I'm really starting to be skeptical of whether they have everything in place to truly succeed and succeed, not just in 2025, but for the long run. At some point in time, you do question whether the guys that went through the rebuild, they got them to a certain point. What's next? And that answer for Mike Elias has been pretty darn underwhelming over the, going back to the deadline of 2023, other than the Corbin Burns trade, basically. I'm not saying it's been all bad, but it's hard to point to too much other stuff and say, wow, that was a great move. But between that and now what feels like some backsliding, not feels like, has been a backslide since last June, where, what is Brandon Hyde and this coaching staff doing to fix this? Because, the starting pitching is one thing, but when you have a lineup that's consistently looking like left-handed pitchers are aliens from another planet and you've never seen it before, I mean, what gives? Like, what is going on here? Have you lost the clubhouse? Are these guys not buying in? It's not good. I'm not saying the change has to happen today or tomorrow. I'm not saying that, but you know what does need to start happening today or tomorrow? This needs to start looking like a more inspired baseball team, because that what we saw the last couple times out, they look very defeated, all the way around, and it shouldn't feel that way in late April. It's late April. Got 140 games to go. But man, feels like it's the dog days of April, the way things are going right now, and that's not a good thing. And I can't just put all of that on the state of the starting rotation. I just can't.
All right, maybe when they wear the all orange uniforms again, or
Hey, they're
the
2-0, 2-0 in those.
City Connect. No. Rhymes with city. Biddy. Yes. I'm going to get thrown off the radio. He is Luke Jones. I am Nestor. We'll come back, talk some more draft. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.